Remember the feeling wondering if you were driving with a defective airbag? In a new scandal today, a Japanese company makes metal parts for cars, planes, and trains has trouble. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Stock in Kobe Steel dropped 22% today after the Japanese firm revealed that it falsified data on the strength of aluminum and copper parts it sold around the world to car companies, even rocket makers. This affects about 4% of the parts shipped. So what are Kobe's customers and we the end consumers to do? That's not yet clear. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Kobe Steel says as many as 200 companies may have gotten metal parts that were weaker than customer specs to be used in everything from cars and planes to rail cars and rockets. According to Kobe, the falsification has not affected any customers' products so far. Of course, those customers aren't taking any chances. Toyota says it's checking which vehicle models might have substandard hoods or doors. Nissan, Honda, and Mazda are checking too. Subaru says it used Kobe's aluminum in wings it made for Boeing's Dreamliner airplane. Boeing says it hasn't seen any safety issues. Kobe Steel has invested heavily in recent years to ramp up aluminum production, just as other primary metal makers have. Matt Meenan is spokesman for the Aluminum Association, and he says the industry sees
consistent growth in demand and then also use of aluminum in vehicles. And the big reason for that is consumer demand and also regulatory demand for increased fuel economy in the car.
The costs to Kobe for all this, which could include recalls and replacements, are not yet known.
Mitchell, thank you. The world economy is picking up steam. The International Monetary Fund today revised global growth upward just a tad to 3.6% for this year. That's the fastest since 2011. On Thursday, the finance ministers and central bankers of 20 of the biggest industrialized economies gather to talk about this. Let's check in with economist David Kelly, chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. The great and the good from these powerful economies are going to come together to talk shop. World economy is not doing all that badly.
No, it's doing really very well. One of the things we track here is we look at the Global Manufacturing PMI Index, which looks at all the manufacturing indices around the major developed countries and emerging markets. And the numbers for September were the strongest we've seen in over 6 years. So this is a rare instance where the whole global economy is actually doing pretty well.
For a lot of folks focused specifically on Wall Street or on Fortune 500 companies, for instance, listed in the United States, maybe missing something, right? I mean, the global economy is out there.
Absolutely, because the thing about the U.S. economy is it's doing pretty well, but this is an old expansion. This is now the third longest expansion we've seen in the last century, and sooner or later, this economy is going to slow down. But if you look at Europe, the unemployment rate is still over 9%. They've got lots of room to grow, and emerging markets always have better long-term growth prospects. So I think a lot of Americans really ought to be casting a wider net when looking for investment opportunities.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you.
Anytime.
Civil war and the Ebola epidemic have wiped out the economy of Liberia. Voters in this West African country, founded by ex-American slaves, are at the polls today, choosing a new president. 20 candidates are in competition to replace Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Africa's first female elected head of state. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this from London. Hi, Anu.
Hi, David.
So the outgoing president is an economist, but even she had trouble turning this economy around.
She's a Harvard-trained economist, no less. And despite the fact that the U.S. and Liberian histories are pretty intertwined, the economies really couldn't be more different. Now, Liberia's obviously had a lot of conflict in the past few decades, but even in peacetime, Liberia's economy has floundered. And that's largely because it's dependent on commodity prices, mostly iron ore, rubber, offshore oil. And when commodity prices tanked back in 2015, so did Liberia's economy. It's had 0% growth since then. So the presidential election is something people are really looking at to see what kind of ideas come out.
Nearly two dozen candidates running for office here, including former warlords, even an ex-international soccer star. Are they offering any practical ideas to help fix the economy and infrastructure?
It's certainly a very interesting, varied lineup. You mentioned ex-soccer star George Weah is regarded as one of the greatest African players of all time. You've also got the wife of the ex-leader Charles Taylor running. Now, he's actually serving time in a British prison convicted of war crimes. The ideas they're all putting forward are pretty non-specific, and that's not helpful for a country where 14 years of civil war wiped out a quarter of a million people. You then had the Ebola crisis between 2014 and 2016. And Benedict Craven, who works for the Economist Intelligence Unit, says this is really going to be a problem.
The civil war ended in 2003. The country really hasn't developed. There's no electricity, no roads in a lot of the country. And so there's a lot of very frustrated youth that felt that they fought for this revolution that never really materialized. I think youth unemployment is something like 85-90%, which is astronomical, possibly among the world's highest. So I think what's at stake is definitely political stability at the end of the day.
So while Liberia has had peace under Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and that is valuable, what it really seeks now is proper development. And that's what the winner of this election is going to have to find a way to deliver.
My colleague Anu Anand at the BBC in London. We're alongside each and every day in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. Anu, thanks.
Thank you very much.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.